It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Chris Versailles. He writes the corner of Wall in Maine here at the Washington Times. And today's column is entitled, More Bad News Makes QE3 Good News More Likely. Please explain that, will you?
Sure thing, Andy. You know, it's no secret that the economic data that we've been getting of late has been, at best, mixed in terms of their headlines. But I would argue that, you know, sifting beneath those headlines and looking at the underlying data, the domestic economy continues to weaken. We continue to have issues over in Europe, and China continues to slow. So when we look at a global perspective on the economy, it's really just more and more bad news. However, how does that equate to what potential good news? The reality is that the stock market, in the face of this bad news, continues to grind higher because a lot on Wall Street continue to think that this means the prospects for another round of sugar stimulus is right around the corner.
All right, so if the government steps in to help, the traders make out, and if they don't, we all lose?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, and I've just written this in my newsletter, that it sounds increasingly like it's setting up to be one of those buy the rumor, sell the news. So if you remember last year, right around the time that we got the debt extension, the market was all nervous, the market rallied, and then the back half of June into August, it totally fell apart. There's the degree of expectation is so high that this will happen that, A, if it doesn't happen, it'll be challenging to the market. B, if it happens but, you know, the details are a little murky or not really palatable, that also spells bad, potential bad news for the market.
All right. You know, I thought we had some positive signs of growth last month. Or is it one of these things, what have you done for me lately?
Well, the only real positive I think that people were pointing to was retail sales. And the reality is that those numbers, while stronger than expected in July, had been very weak the prior few months. So we get a one-hit bump, if you will. But, you know, again, think about what's going on. Gas prices are up about 9%.
Yeah.
Brent crude prices have risen 30% roughly since the end of July, which means that, guess what, gas is going to go even higher. And we're starting to see food prices start to trickle up now. So you start to look at that would-be disposable income that consumers have. I say would-be because they don't have it, and it's going to get a whole lot tighter.
Yeah. You mentioned growth in the GDP. It's not there. It's worse than projected, right?
Oh, it's been horrific. I mean, if you think that for all the stimulus that we've had and various initiatives over the last few years, you know, the prospects for growth are going to be sub 2% in the coming year, and that's on par with 2011. So, you know, when I sit there and I listen to President Obama go, forward, we're moving forward, Andy.
Yeah.
I sit there and I go, no, we're stuck in neutral.
Yeah. We're not drifting backwards, but we're close to it. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the level of growth that we've seen coming out of this quote-unquote recovery has been overall extremely weak, at times stronger than weaker. And the reality is that, you know, I think if we look in the rearview mirror, we'll see that there's a tremendous number of Band-Aids that have been put on this wound, as we've talked about in the past, and we just haven't addressed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, more stimulus is going to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I just thought of something. I never asked you this. Ben Bernanke. Good job, bad job? Because I always hear financial guys always kind of chime in on his performance and what he does.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has an incredibly difficult job. I mean, first and foremost, you know, it's certainly not a job I would want.
Right.
But the reality is that he has to look out over several months and balance a number of conflicting objectives, growing the economy, managing inflation, and the like. And it can be difficult. And, you know, it's not easy, particularly when you see what's going on around the globe these days. You know, we still have issues in Europe. We still have, you know, issues in China, not only trade issues, but, you know, their economy is slowing. And past a certain point, you know, it becomes a challenge, to say the least, to balance all these balls.
Yeah.
But having said that, though, you know, the one thing that I'm a little concerned about with regard to Mr. Bernanke is that, you know, the longer we look out, the longer it looks like we're going to have near 0% interest rates. And that's not stimulating the economy, right?
Yeah.
Free money doesn't do it. We've talked about it. I do think there's got to be, if we're going to do something, it's got to be different. You know, like I say at the end of the column, Didn't Albert Einstein define insanity by doing the same thing over and over again?
Yeah.
Expecting something different?
Yeah, I sure did. The calls for auditing the Fed, I mean, this was proposed originally by Ron Paul, and a lot of members of Congress have gotten on board. Would you be on board with that?
You know, if it was a one-time audit, perhaps. We have to remember that the Fed, the way it was designed, is to stand independent of the government.
Right.
You know, so the problem is, at least in my view, it's kind of a slippery slope. First they're auditing, then they're influencing policy, and then the Fed is no longer truly independent. So I would have a tough time with that, you know, if it was a persistent audit. But, you know, every so often, everybody needs their books checked. It could be a healthy thing.
Yeah. Pretty positive week in the stock market, it looks like. Why? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, it gets back to what we said earlier. You know, middle of the week, China came out and had some comments. Oh, inflation seems low, could open up another round of stimulus from the bank. Boom! There goes the market yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you look at the move in the market, right around 1.8% or so this week, almost the entire move came yesterday. And that's really the reason why.
Ah, okay. All right, just stick with the sin stocks, all right? That's what you've told me.
You know, it depends. And I say that because if at least short term, if the expectation is that we're going to get more stimulus, people will think, oh, that's good for growth stocks. No. Sin stocks are not growth stocks. They're more defensive plays with very high dividends.
Yeah.
And they are good over time, irrespective. I do think they will lag near term. And I say that because everybody's going to be focusing on the growth stocks. Who's going to benefit? Give me the sugar. Give me the sugar.
Yeah, yeah. All right, finally today, Facebook. What happened? You know, this morning, you know, I was trying to think of some questions for you today, which, you know, I normally have to fry my brain in order to do. And I was sitting there and I thought, Facebook. What happened to it? It's, you know, it's under $20 now. Is it going to come back? What about the people that bought it at 38? Are they jumping off bridges? You know, what the heck went wrong with this?
Well, look, anytime you deal with a company that is newly public, meaning they've just gone through the initial public offering process and the stock is first available, there's always some risk, right? The management team has never really performed in front of the public before, delivering results quarter after quarter like they need to. And when Facebook shared their first quarter results as a publicly traded company, there were a lot of issues buried in those numbers. I continue to be bearish on Facebook as a business, because what they lack is a mobile business model, meaning as people transition to smartphones, to some extent tablets, they don't have an advertising revenue stream derived from those devices. And that shift is happening faster and faster. So I do think they're vulnerable. But at the same time, also this week, the IPO lockup came undone. That means now insiders get to sell stock. So we'll see. You know, if we see a lot of insiders heading for the hills, you know, the thought is, well, they must know something.
Yeah.
Right? So why would I buy it? But also, too, it's a lot of stock for the market to digest. So these lockup periods, when they come, they can be very tricky times. So, you know, long term, we'll see about Facebook. I mean, honestly, I would never pay for the service.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to justify and rationalize that as a business.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. All right, my friend, thank you much. Folks, if you get a chance, check it out in today's Washington Times. More bad news makes QE3 good news more likely. That's the headline. And the story is by Chris Versailles. And as always, you can get in touch with Chris at chrisversailles.com. That's V-E-R-S-A-C-E. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Andy.
4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.